Well, good morning. Along with Charlie, I too want to welcome everyone here at Prairie Village Church of Christ. Please open your Bibles and follow along with me. And if you want to take notes, please do so. What you're going to hear this morning is something that you probably have never heard before in your life, and if you attend a denominational church, you will never, ever hear this kind of a sermon, I can assure you of that. Please understand, I never attempt to be mean or to hurt anybody's feelings. However, if the truth offends, so be it. Paul commands us to preach the gospel anywhere, anytime, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering. And that is exactly what I intend to do this morning. We here at Prairie Village speak where the Bible speaks and are silent where the Bible is silent. So please open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4 as we begin our study of the man-made religious holiday Easter, which is today, April the 20th, 2025. Now, I was told this story from my friend. He said he was at his bank recently and could not help but overhear a conversation that was taking place between several of the ladies who worked there, nice ladies, every one of them, and a customer. The ladies were bemoaning the fact they were going to have to work all day Friday, would not be able to attend Good Friday services. The customer, who seemed to be yet another very nice lady, was expressing her disappointment in not knowing where the ecumenical Good Friday service was going to take place. She said she just loved it when the Baptist, the Christian church folks, the Roman Catholics, and other denominational people all got together for one big service. Altogether, they were generally lamenting things aren't like they used to be. And you know, the very fact that there are so many different denominations claiming to worship Christ, and the very fact that there is such a thing as Good Friday taking place on Friday before the Sunday that many celebrate as Easter, all indicates that things aren't like they used to be. What I mean by this is when Jesus established his church, there existed no such things as different denominations. There were no denominations in Jesus' day. The first denomination didn't happen until 600 years after his death, in 606, when the Catholic Church was formed. The church that Jesus established knew nothing of Good Friday, Lent, Ash Wednesday, Palm Sunday, and most certainly did not have set aside one Sunday to be designated as Easter and used to commemorate and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus in a special way. To many, Easter has become the one time of the year for them to attend church services, honestly believing that they're commemorating the resurrection of Christ. But as important as Easter has become, most Americans, it was easy for many years to rejected by American Protestants. They rejected the word Easter, who believed that to follow the church calendar and to keep certain days was to follow and bow to the dictates of the Pope. Probably didn't know that, did you? But each year, national magazines and publications of every type carry over emotional and over-exaggerated articles and, for the most part, false theories about the word Easter and the resurrection of Jesus, planting the sinful, ugly, evil seeds of paganism in the unlearned and hungry minds of men and women. In many cases, it become evident that the very elect, individuals and even congregations, have turned to be like the world about us, to practice paganism and to keep the days and the festival unknown to the Lord's New Testament teachings. We're not to pollute the worship of God with traditions of men, the words of men, or the days of men. That's why I always ask you to open your Bibles and follow along with me. I don't want you to take my word. I don't want you to ever take any man's word. Only the word of God, the Bible. Now let's hear the Apostle Paul as he reproves the Christians of Galatia along these very lines. Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, we'll read verses 8 through 11. And when did you not know God? And when you did not know God, you were slaves to those by which nature are no gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. Because of tradition, many people today believe that Easter has always been observed from the apostolic days and by the authority of the Scriptures. Long before the Lord's resurrection, there were many great pagan festivals during the spring season. Pagan, understand. It's surprising how many of the ancient rites have found their way into Christian observances. Neither Easter nor Good Friday are biblical terms. Let me repeat that. Neither Easter or Good Friday are biblical terms. Good Friday never appears in the Scripture. As far as I know, the word Easter appears in only one translation of the New Testament, and that is the King James or Authorized Translation. Look with me at Acts 12, if you would. Acts chapter 12. Now I'm going to read from King James here now. Acts 12, verses 1 through 4. From the King James. verse 1. Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four corners of the soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. The use of the word Easter in verse 4 is not a translation, it is a mistranslation. The word is Pascha, which is the ordinary Greek word for Passover. It is used 29 times in the New Testament and 28 times it is translated as Passover. And Acts 12 and verse 4 is the only place in the English translation of the Bible the word Easter is recorded. The same word is used in Matthew 26:2, Luke 2:41, John 2:13, and other places. And in every instance, every one of them is translated Passover. Same word, translated Passover. So today, if we were to celebrate the Easter of Acts 12 and verse 4, it would not be the Easter of today, but the Jewish Passover. King Herod put forth his hands to affect certain of the church, and it's absurd, brethren. Just think how absurd it is to think that he wanted to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. That don't even make sense, does it? Anyone even familiar with the Jewish feast days would know that the inspired writer Luke had the Passover in mind. Of this translation, Albert Barnes, some of you may have known him, he was a noted Presbyterian commentator, and he said, and I want to quote what he said, there never was a more absurd or unhappy translation than this. The original is simply after the Passover. The word Easter now denotes the festival observed by many Christians in honor of the resurrection of the Savior. But the original had no reference to that, and nor is there the slightest evidence that any such festival was observed at the time when this book was written. The translation is not only unhappy, as it does not convey at all the meaning of the original, but because it may contribute to foster an opinion that such a festival was observed in the times of the apostles. That's from Albert Barnes, a noted Presbyterian. Now today, the Presbyterian Church, along with the rest, observe Easter. Look at 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. In Corinthians 5 and verse 7, Paul says, clean out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Some try, as they may, attempt to get Easter out of this passage, which is calling for the removal of evil from among the brethren at Corinth. This is a classic example of going to the Scriptures to find authority for something that someone wants to do rather than to simply find out what the Scriptures say. The early Christians commemorate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ on the first day of the week by partaking of the Lord's Supper. The early Christians commemorated the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus every first day of the week by partaking of the Lord's Supper. This was done under the guidance and direction of the apostles who had been commissioned by the Lord to teach those who converted, that they converted, to observe all that I commanded you. Faithful children of God continue to do the very same thing today, just as we did this morning and as we do every first day of the week. There's absolutely no biblical authority for a man or a group of men to set aside one day in the year above all others to commemorate the death and resurrection of Jesus as an official religious observance. If it is true that the Bible supplies us with everything pertaining to life and godliness, as Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1:3, and if it is wrong to add to or take from the Word of God, as seen in Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, and if the Bible does not mention Good Friday or the Easter celebration, what does that mean for those who engage in it? When I see men, often known sinners, mind you, dress themselves in robes to portray the Son of God, I am sickened to disgust. And I'm reminded what Jude said in Jude 17, 18, and 19. Let's go over to the little book of Jude. Jude 17. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time there shall be mockers following after their own ungodly lust. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. He says they cause divisions, they're worldly minded, and they are devoid of the Spirit. Now listen to the words of Paul, if you would please, in Colossians 2. Come over with me. Colossians 2. And in verse 16. Therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Brethren, the traditions of men make worship vain, empty, vain. Jesus said that teaching for the doctrines or commandments of men make their worship vain in Mark 7:7. Their lips have been honored, lips may have honored the Lord, but their heart was far from Him. If their heart was right with the Lord, they would have wanted to obey Him, wouldn't they? The religious world has never learned that all the traditions of men pumped into their service only make their worship service before God in vain. Such things as counting beads, lighting candles, sprinkling water, having plays of religious nature such as Easter and Christmas plays, having special music, using instruments of music in worship, and any number of other such things only make worship vain in the sight of God. It's all human tradition, brethren. It is all human tradition, for none of this can be found in the will of God, the New Testament. And it doesn't make any difference how honest and sincere people might be, they can be sincerely wrong and rejected of God. And traditions, things traditions will do. Let's listen to what our Lord Jesus said in Matthew 15 and verse 9. Matthew 15 and verse 9. Jesus said, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Now, if you would, turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Now, after Peter answered the multitude in Acts 2 and verse 37, when he asked men and brethren, "What shall we do?" About 3,000 souls that gladly received his word were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And in verse 42 of Acts 2 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers." Whose doctrine did they follow? The apostles' doctrine, that's who. Not some man-made doctrines or traditions. But let me tell you, doctrine means teaching, and the gospel is what is taught. So it's impossible to separate the gospel from the doctrine. Traditions, for example, Easter, Christmas, so on, will exalt the practice of men through the years over the teachings of the Word of God. So what happens? What God said means nothing. Men today will take the traditions of men over the Word of God when it comes to the question of which they will follow. You see it every day. I see it all the time. Obedience to the will of God becomes unimportant with many today. If man wants to follow tradition, it makes no difference what God has said or what he wants man to do. They could care less. Tradition will kill the desire to study. It'll kill the desire to learn and to know the truth of God's Word. There'll be no need to study or to take time in studying to learn the truth if men are going to follow tradition. Thus, ignorance of the truth becomes just as good as knowledge of the truth. In Matthew, the 15th chapter, our Lord said in Matthew 15, verse 13, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." All denominations he's talking about, all religious organizations will be rooted up. Now, at the very root of the Pharisees' traditions lay hearts unwilling to yield to God's simple rule. These were hearts determined to make their own rules. Rules which to them were in addition to, and in the place of, and more attractive than the statutes of God. They liked them better. It's fun. This was the seed from which the plant of the Phariseeism grew. This was the plant which the God the Son promised that would be rooted up. That means it'll be rooted up, it will be destroyed. And it will be at the end of time, be rooted up and destroyed. All denominations, all religious organizations, not started by Jesus Christ, the Jews, Muslim, you name it, will be rooted up. Likewise, brethren, this dissatisfaction with God's way is the seed from which all modern-day denominationalism grows. From Catholicism in the 6th century through the Protestant Reformation to the present, the plants of denominationalism with their corresponding and often contradictory dogmas have flourished, such as celebrating Easter as a religious holiday. Turn with me to John the 17th chapter. Now I want to read part of that beautiful prayer in the garden that the Lord prayed to the Father. John 17. The division represented by these denominational systems is deplorable. As deplorable as seen in John 17, verse 20 and 21, where Jesus prayed these words. He said in verse 20, I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they all may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. One. Did you notice how many times one is used there? These man-made denominations serve only to confuse honest hearts and to prejudice otherwise sincere seekers against the truth. These noxious plants shall indeed be rooted up. To be sure, most all denominations do teach some truth, though. They are without doubt moral people and good neighbors within all these systems. But while they may claim the name of Christ, they are unknown to Christ. Come with me now, let's read Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23. Here's what our Lord says. Matthew 7, verse 21. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Listen now. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Obedience. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Their worship service is worthless. Their worship is worthless. The point Jesus is making here is doing anything religiously without his authority is a sin. Therefore, all denominations are in sin and they will be rooted up. They're known as Christians to the rest of the world. We talked about that before. They're known as everybody's a Christian today. They're known as Christian to the rest of the world, but not to Christ. To be a Christian is to belong to Christ and to submit in all things to his headship. Everything. Denominationalism and its members fail on both counts. This makes the appeal of the first century Christianity unique and powerful. You don't have to belong to a denominational system. You can lay all doctrines and practices of men aside and follow the simple, pure New Testament pattern. To do so will make you a Christian, a follower of Christ, and nothing more. Your allegiance will not be to a man-made system governed by man-made rules, but to Jesus Christ and the New Testament as your guide for daily living. You will enjoy a relationship with others who have the same allegiance as you do in a local congregation, just as we do here at Prairie Village. Every plant which God did not plant, whose roots are not found running deep in the book, will be destroyed. This means that every denominational system and every denominational doctrine, having had their beginning in the will of man, will be uprooted. They will not stand in a judgment day as Jesus warns us in John 12, 48. Come with me and let's read that passage. John 12, verse 48. Think of what Jesus is saying here. He said, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings as one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. When you reject the New Testament or His Word, you reject Jesus. We need always to follow traditions that has been handed down from the Lord and His apostles and reject the traditions of men. Human tradition will make our worship vain. So here's another man-made holiday, Easter. Yet all the Lord wants is for us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. There'll be a lot of spirited Easter celebrations today, but they're going to be real short on the truth. I'm so thankful, as you should be, that our Lord died for us and rose from the dead. I am thankful enough to commemorate His great sacrifice as He has informed us that He wants it remembered and not the way that I want to. Ask yourself this question. The celebration of Easter, was it from what source was it? From heaven or from men? In closing, let us earnestly and fearfully take heed to the Word of God through Jeremiah. Come with me to Jeremiah, if you would. One last passage, Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah 6. Something you may want to underline, mark in your Bible. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. Jeremiah wrote in verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls." The old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, he says. Brethren and friends, Easter begins too late and is without the authority of God. And there may be some here this morning who are not Christians. If you're not a Christian, let me tell you, you're living in sin. But you don't have to. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then what is left for you to do is to come forward, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus before men, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. There is no invitation more inviting, no plan more powerful than that contained in the Word of God. Listen to the gentle plea of Jesus in Matthew, the 11th chapter, in verse 28. Follow along if you'd like. If not, it's okay. Matthew 11:28-30, our Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Can we help you make your life right with God? Jesus is calling today. Jesus is tenderly calling today. Won't you come now as we stand and as we sing? Brother Bill.